Fun fact, running a podcast takes a lot of time and money. So I want to take a moment to say thank you, cuddles, warm fuzzies, and thank you so much to the following homies who have donated to help keep the show free to air for everyone to enjoy. So Steffi Joachim, Manuela Tegler, can't wait to see you in Bali, Annie Dellert, Christy Stewart, Angela Lovell, Belle Zulian, Jenna Bennett, and Jenny Griffiths. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your support. If you have ever found value from this podcast, please consider donating at www.eugeniekruger.com and click the donate button at the top. Thanks. Today's guest, Dr. Amit Agarwal, is a man of many talents, combining naturopathy, homeopathy, family constellations, gestalt therapy, EMDR, and psychotherapy over his almost two decades of practice. He is also a 5-time best-selling author. If you are interested in his valuable online courses, free ebook, retreats, or a consultation, visit www.dramit.com. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now my mum and your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hello, homies, and a very warm welcome to Homeopathy Hangout. Today, we get to speak with Dr. Amit Agarwal in Kenya. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jenny. Super excited to talk about anxiety, depression, trauma, chronic disease, gut health, family constellations, and homeopathy, of course, and really helping people treat the root cause and support long-term well-being.
That's amazing. I'm so excited. And actually, the way that I learned about you was through Dr. Matthias Badner with the Network to Heal Summit. I was one of the guest hosts on that summit. And I got to listen to your interview that you did with him. And I was like, okay, this is somebody I have to have on the show. My first question was just like, how has this man learned so many different skills in one lifetime? And yeah, so I just had to get you on the show. And I love that you've got so many different modalities that you can draw from to really help someone in a very holistic way. So I wonder, can you start off by telling our guests a little bit about yourself and also how you first discovered homeopathy?
Gosh, okay, fair enough. So I'm a naturopathic doctor, homeopath, and psychotherapist, and I really wanted to treat the root cause of issues. So in naturopathic medicine, of course, we're using, you know, gut health. We'll talk about all these things, herbs, supplements, healing the gut, the liver, and we're also using homeopathy. And then I joined psychotherapy school, gestalt psychotherapy first. And that's where I learned the power of healing emotions. Yeah. When you heal trauma, childhood trauma, whether it's abuse, neglect, abandonment, whatever it is, the physical body starts to heal as well. Of course, the emotions start to heal. So anxiety, depression, OCD, even smoking cravings reduce. I quit smoking because of gestalt therapy, to be honest. And homeopathy also helped me treat the root cause, as all the homeopaths know. One is my first remedy, homeopathic remedy, was LSD, homeopathic LSD, actually.
I was prescribed that too.
I'd done too much LSD in my life. And so my mind was shifting perspective on its own kind of thing. If anyone's done LSD, they know what I'm talking about. And after that remedy, my God, like it just cleared my whole aura, my space. Yeah. And I was like, gosh, this is wonderful stuff. And of course, then you experiment with every single remedy in the Materia Medica. I've literally taken over 200 remedies from Nux Vomica, Ignatia, et cetera. And I realized the power of homeopathy to not only heal constitutionally, but also to heal life events. And so that's what I do in my practice, a combination of healing ancestral trauma, using family constellations therapy. That's what we do at the retreats. And looking at the kinds of trauma people have been through, whether it's abandonment, grief in the homeopathic Materia Medica or repertory, depending on the type of trauma, you can select different kinds of remedies. So ailments from accidents, for example, you can use opium or aconite. Ailments from lost love or grief or disappointment, there's natrum muriaticum, pulsatilla, ignatia. So I'll combine constellation work to heal some of the trauma, plus a homeopathic remedy for that kind of trauma. Yeah. And of course, then supporting gut health, liver detox, and adrenal fatigue. Yeah. With herbs and supplements, as well as homeopathic remedies. And we'll talk about all those remedies for liver detox and adrenal support to really give a more holistic healing. Yeah. For the mind and body together. I'll give you an example. So I had a client, she had seizures, epileptic fits upon sleeping. And upon asking her when they started, basically, they started when her daughter turned 12 years old. What's the significance of that? I said, there's something else going on. And I could feel, using family constellations, I tuned in and I felt it was something related to her own sister. So I said, well, do you have a sister? What happened to her? And she broke down in tears, started crying. Her sister passed away in a car accident at 12 years old, right? And so it's strange because she had a dream that when her daughter was coming, it was her sister coming back. So in a way, she was confusing her own daughter with her sister's soul. And the beautiful thing is that when her daughter turned 12, the same age the sister passed away, her seizures started. Okay. Now, in the first session, we did family constellations therapy. I got her to say a healing sentence, basically, "Dear sister, you're what's missing for me." And so she connected to a deep grief that she couldn't save her sister's life during the accident. That night, her seizures reduced by 50% just with a healing sentence. Okay. Extremely powerful. And then we continued doing some work. I combined somatic experience as well. And then if you look in the repertory, ailments from accidents, ailments from shock and trauma, there's opium. Opium also has seizures or tremors upon sleeping, falling asleep. So we gave her homeopathic opium, which fits her picture. Boom, significant reduction in seizures as well. And now she barely needs a remedy once in a while, right? So that's the power of using constellation work and homeopathy to heal the root cause, which is often trauma.
That's so beautiful. I have lots of questions I want to ask you about family constellations because it's something I'm deeply fascinated by. But with the homeopathy side of things, did you learn that in naturopathic college or did you know about that beforehand?
So I learned about homeopathy and learned homeopathy in naturopathic college. And then through my own work, I realized the value, because I'm a Gestalt therapist and EMDR therapist, I realized the value of healing trauma. And so in the repertory, we have the chapter Mind Ailments From. Yeah. And I use that often. So for example, I had a client with constipation. And you do the Nux Vomica, the Lycopodium, etc. And then upon taking her history, there was a lot of conflict between her parents, yeah, when she was growing up. So ailments from discords between parents. And one of the main remedies is graphitis. And graphitis is what cleared her constipation, right? So I'll use the mind ailments from a lot, but also there's a whole system of medicine that I use, and I teach this at the retreats that I do, is gut health, liver detox, adrenal support, trauma healing, and systemic or family trauma healing. Those are the five pillars of health, right? Because basically we have a stomach, intestines. Your intestines are like a nice tube, a nice lining, kept healthy by good bacteria and good food. With antibiotic use, a poor diet, etc., the lining gets damaged and toxins leak into the bloodstream, causing inflammation everywhere. Leading cause for asthma, eczema, arthritis, a lot of chronic conditions. And Hahnemann also said the importance of changing the diet, right? So we heal the gut. So in my online course, I go through remedies like probiotics, glutamine, amino acids, vitamin D to heal the gut lining. Then the next pillar of health is the liver. So the liver, with all this chronic inflammation, the liver gets bunged up, number one. The liver is always battling with toxins from the environment, from foods, from our own toxicity, right? The liver is the master controller of hormones, of glucose metabolism, of vitamin storage, of immune cell activation, protein synthesis. It's the master organ in Chinese medicine, right? And so when the liver is stagnant, one, it produces less bile. With less bile, there's more gas, bloating, constipation, because constipation is the lubricant for stool. So most people make a mistake of taking laxatives for constipation rather than improving bile flow. And you improve bile flow by healing the liver. So in my online course, I cover liver remedies as well as homeopathic remedies for the liver, like Nux Vomica, Lycopodium, you know, Chelidonium. All these are great liver remedies, but I combine those with herbs. If you have PMS symptoms, for example, PMS, whether it's fibroids, ovarian cysts, breast tenderness, cramping, clotting, mood swings. So how do you heal liver stagnation? You change your diet. First of all, get rid of inflammatory foods, reduce toxicity, and then detoxify the liver. When you do that, you need less hormonal remedies, whether it's homeopathic or whether it's herbal, because a lot of people are basically masking symptoms also with natural medicine. They're taking, you know, they're taking Agnus Castus for hormonal balance. They're taking chamomile tea for sleep issues, or ashwagandha for adrenal burnout. But what's the root cause, right? Is often trauma, gut inflammation, leaky gut, liver toxicity. Yeah. And of course, if you are burnt out, yes, you do need the ashwagandha. You do need the rhodiola. But why are you burnt out? Because you're stressed and traumatized. And when you heal the stress and trauma through gestalt therapy, through the homeopathic remedies for trauma, through family constellations therapy, your adrenal glands start healing or restoring their resilience. Because remember, your adrenal glands are in fight, flight, or freeze, yeah, constantly if you've been traumatized. Even though the trauma is over, you are guarding, you are protecting yourself. So eventually your adrenal glands burn out. And when your adrenal glands burn out, and basically you have what I call emotional holding patterns, so the trauma is stored in your body, yeah? So your adrenal glands are stuck in a defensive mechanism. And when they burn out, you go into a cortisol imbalance. And when you have a cortisol imbalance, that suppresses serotonin, dopamine, melatonin, and GABA, all your feel-good neurotransmitters, leading you into anxiety, depression, OCD, suicidal thoughts, you know, low self-esteem, and food cravings as well. And so the important thing is, while you're restoring adrenal gland health using your adaptogens like ashwagandha, rhodiola, ginseng, etc., it's important to release the fight, flight, or freeze response. Yeah, because your entire nervous system is stuck there. And so at the retreats, and the online course also has some of the exercises, we do emotional healing exercises using EMDR, gestalt therapy, EFT tapping, and family constellations as well. While we're doing that, then we also include the trauma remedies from homeopathy, right? Ignatia, if there's been a betrayal or loss of a loved one, natrum muriaticum, if there's a lot of suicidal thoughts with a lot of sense of failure and disappointment, then maybe aurum metallicum. If there's severe burnout of the adrenal glands, then I cover remedies in the online course for adrenal fatigue or burnout. Usually it's the acid remedies, phosphoric acid, picric acid, sulfuric acid, right? Caliphos is excellent as well for that burnout state. So I usually use a combination of herbs, homeopathy, and psychotherapy, and of course, family constellations therapy to give people a more complete healing.
Wow, that's a lot, hey? And as a practitioner who's always trying to do the best of my clients, I'm always trying to learn new things. And now already I'm thinking I'm going to have to add something else. But actually, I refer out to a lot of practitioners because we do have a lot of EMDR therapists around here. I don't know many family constellations therapists around here, but that is something that can be done online because I've done family constellations only twice. It was through a Zoom session. There were only about three or four of us. So it's something I'm deeply fascinated by. I don't know much about it, but I have heard that apparently it originated from the Zulus in Africa, which is cool. You're in Kenya. I'm originally from South Africa. And yeah, I've heard that family constellations was, I think it was a German person that went there and observed. Can you tell us a little bit about family constellations for those that don't know, like myself?
Yeah. So we all carry ancestral trauma. And what is ancestral trauma? That is basically things that our ancestors, including our mother, father, and siblings, our siblings are not our ancestors, but they're entangled in our family system. They're part of our system. We unconsciously take these traumas on out of love and loyalty. Right? And family constellations therapy developed by Bert Hellinger, German Jesuit priest who spent time in South Africa and learned from the Zulu people certain traditions. These traditions basically respected what we call orders of love. So I teach about this by the way, if anyone wants to do retreats with me, either in Africa on safari or in Sardinia or something, you're more than welcome. We do this. We go in depth in this. So the orders of love, Bert Hellinger noticed, were three main ones. One is the right to belong. Everyone has the right to belong. What does that mean? So in family systems or in families, sometimes we exclude people or we don't mention them, whether it's the drunken uncle or the abuser or somebody who was a murderer or even miscarriages and abortions. That's a big one. And I'll talk about miscarriages and abortions and why it's important to include those family members. Often we don't talk about them or we forget about them. But if there's a miscarriage or abortion in your family, yeah, by your parents, and you were born after, but you think you're the first child. But in reality, because of this missing child, you're actually the second or third child. Most people don't recognize that. And so what happens is, I see this time and time again, people who assume they're the first child and they don't know they're the second or third, they have this underlying anxiety. Yeah, because they're trying to fill a role that's not theirs. Or they have a deep grief that's either a guilt of survival because the other child died and they survived, or they're carrying the grief of the parents without knowing it. So in family constellations therapy, we can use healing sentences. We use healing sentences. So in a case like miscarriage and abortions, we can say, you know, dear sibling, I give you a place in my heart. Yeah, you belong in this family and I am in second position compared to you. You came first. And just recognizing that hierarchy or that place, yeah, you'll have a deep settling in your nervous system, extremely deep settling and healing. And then also what happens is because you're carrying mom or dad's grief unknowingly, you can say, dear mom, I'm also missing this child. Please forgive me if I look at this child as my sibling and leave your grief with you. I have my own grief to look at and respect. And I deeply bow to your grief as yours. So it's handing back to the parents their burdens so that you can feel what is truly yours as the child. And that kind of goes into the second order of love, which is the order of hierarchy. Yeah. So basically, we don't take on the burdens of our ancestors, ideally. We respect what is theirs to carry as the big ones, and we remain the children. That's one example of hierarchy. The second explanation of hierarchy is the order of how people appear in the family system. So like I said, the aborted or miscarried children before you, they come first. Your parents are above you, so they deserve the respect of you as the child. Yeah. So I had a client with cancer, stomach cancer to be specific, tumor markers over 4,000. And when she came in to see me, like we were doing homeopathy, of course, but I could feel intuitively something happened. And I said, when did this start? And she gave me some time. And I said, okay, what happened? So with family constellations therapy, we feel the field and we can feel kind of events that happen for a person. I said, what happened 3 months ago before that? And she broke down in tears, right? And she was like, yeah, I found out my father had an affair with someone and I couldn't swallow or digest it. Yeah. And I'm using those words on purpose because those are the words she used and it's related to stomach cancer. She couldn't process that. And so in a way, she's rejecting her parent and she's judging her parent. Yeah. So in family constellations, we see that as the child becoming bigger than the parent. So we're judging the parent as wrong. I'm not saying you have to agree with wrongdoings of family members. It's just that the position you take of rejecting a parent and judging them makes you step out of hierarchy. You become the big one and you're making them smaller. And so out of loyalty to her mother, of course, and most children do this, we're loyal to the victim parent. So I got her to say this healing sentence. I said, dear dad, it's costing me my life to reject you. Please forgive me if I've pushed you away. I take you into my heart as my father once again. It's difficult. I don't think I use this sentence exactly, but it's something like, it's difficult for me to look at what has happened. But the difficulty was because of her loyalty to mom. So I got her to look at mom and say, dear mom, please forgive me if I give father a good place in my heart. Once you get permission from mom, then you're able to love dad more completely, even though the affair happened. Because often we reject affairs out of loyalty to one of the parents. And then we use a couple of other healing sentences. And 6 months later, I can't remember if it was 3 or 6 months later, tumor markers dropped from 4,000 to, like, I don't know, below 100 or something like that. Yeah. So that's the power of constellations. I've had clients, you know, with chronic pain as well. We're doing the homeopathy, but the pain was because she was carrying the burden of her mom who lost a child in a miscarriage. Yeah. And her mom was deeply grieving. She couldn't accept the loss. And my client was born in that family. Unconsciously, she took on the grief of her mom and the responsibility. She was bearing the burden of her mother, yeah, in her shoulders, neck. Literally in front of me in that session, like everything started moving. Like she started just like, oh my God, what's happening? And her shoulders, arms just started moving around and just pain disappeared in front of my eyes. So constellation work can have immediate effects, or it might take some time for the physiology to catch up to the information.
Oh, I'm just thinking of a client I have right at the moment who was born on the day that her grandma died. And her mom was just in complete grief. And so she's now in her 50s, 60s, never been able to celebrate her birthday because that's the day that, you know, the grandma died. And it's just, oh, it's so deep. It's so heavy. And so I've been thinking of ways of, you know, how to clear that. I've started using some remedies, but I might suggest some family constellations to her because that does sound like a really good idea. I was going to ask you, because you did say that, you know, the lady came in and then you kind of asked what happened at 12. And I did, you said you used family constellations and then you asked her what happened at 12. Because I always thought family constellations has to be done in a group of people, but clearly you were there by yourself. So is that something that you can actually just do by yourself as well?
Yeah. So I do a lot of online sessions and retreats in different places. So you can do constellations on your own. It doesn't have to be done in a group. Okay. Yeah. Because as constellators, experienced constellators, we're connected to the field. We can feel it quite easily. And the field gives us information. So I didn't ask her what happened at 12. I asked her, what happened with your sister? Because I could feel there's an issue with the sister. And then it was quite unbelievable that the sister died at 12. Yeah. And her seizure started when her own daughter turned 12. So she was creating an association there. I mean, it's hard to believe, but the proof is in the pudding, because when we healed the trauma with her sister, the seizures reduced. And then, of course, using opium as well, the seizure reduced even more. Yeah. And for your client with the grandma dying, yeah, on her birthday, basically what happens is when our mother's father or mother passes away, the parent can be engrossed in that death, occupied. And when a parent is occupied with one of their family members passing, they're kind of looking in a different direction, away from your client as a child. So your child will feel at a soul level an abandonment or a neglect, a devaluation. Okay? So a healing sentence could be like, "Dear mom, please look at me. Dear mom, I've missed you," or "I miss you." Yeah, you can even feel that. I can even feel, I'm getting goosebumps. Feel that, because I can feel in the field for her. And so when you connect to that vulnerable part of you, that innate sensitivity, that honesty inside, deep healing happens. And that deep healing has the power to transform your physiology, including chronic diseases, diabetes, cancer, chronic pain, you name it.
That's why I'm a huge fan of using other therapies alongside homeopathy. I mean, I gave her some Ignatia 10M and some Lacmaternum 10M, but it'll be interesting to see what she comes back with. I've got some other remedies as backup, but I do think that sometimes things like family constellations and EMDR, I've never had it done myself. A lot of my clients do it, and I do refer to other EMDR practitioners in Perth because I've heard such good things about it. And from my limited understanding, there's something I've seen videos of it, and they make your eyes go back and forth, and that allows it to access a part of your brain which is able to release some traumas. But can you please give us a proper explanation of what it is?
Sure. So EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, I think I got that right. Basically, is a therapy developed that helps people process trauma that's stored in the limbic system, yeah, in the reptilian brain or the subconscious. How it works is I'll get the client to think about the traumatic memory. So I'll combine EMDR with Gestalt and somatic experience. So I don't always do it this way, yeah? I make it safer for my clients by combining the other therapies. I'll ask my client to think about the traumatic event. And often people are asked to think about the worst moment, the most stressful moment. Yeah. And when you're in that snapshot of a picture, maybe it's the truck hitting someone or being slapped in the face or losing the dog dying and you knowing it's dead there. In that very moment, I ask you then to think about the negative belief you have about yourself. Yeah. And it's about yourself really. So either the thought could be, "I'm not loved, I'm going to die, I'm in danger, I'm not going to be okay. There's nothing I can do about anything right now. I'm helpless." Yeah, there's many different thoughts you have about yourself in that moment. So you're connecting to the image, the memory, the negative belief about yourself. Then I ask you to connect with the emotion you're having in that moment. It could be panic. It could be sadness. It could be instability. Yeah, it could be shame. So as you see, what we're doing is we're getting you to connect with all senses. We also get you to connect with your physical sensation in the body. It could be a sense of tightness. It could be a sense of like choking. It could be a sense of helplessness or weakness, yeah, in your arms. So you're connected to the image, the visual memory, which is usually your frontal cortex, I guess. You're also connected to now the emotion, sensations, and beliefs about yourself, yeah, which goes into the hippocampus, the reptilian brain. So we're connecting all parts. And then as you're connected to those four senses, the memory, the emotions, the negative belief, and the physical sensation, then I'll get you to look left and right by following my fingers or tap left and right alternatively on your collarbones. Okay. And that's called bilateral stimulation. When you do the bilateral stimulation while connecting to the emotional memory and the sensations around it and the beliefs around it, what happens is the frontal cortex of your brain, or the adult brain or the thinking brain, starts processing the emotions that were stuck around that traumatic memory. Yeah. So the fight, flight or freeze response, or the part of you that's frozen, doesn't know how to think its way out of the experience. You're just trying to protect yourself in that memory. And so by doing bilateral stimulation and connecting to the memory, what happens is then the frontal cortex helps you think your way out, or really process and release or disengage the fight, flight or freeze response. And so you get more clarity about, oh, okay, I feel a bit further away from the trauma. I realize I was tightening my jaw and I don't need to anymore. Or I realize I was waiting for mom to really look at me and give me love. And I can feel the waiting in my body and I can relax now because I can look after myself now. It's not so urgent that I need that look of love. But I'll also combine it with constellation work now, right? Because that need for love is really deep within us. And I might add the sentence, dear mom, please look at me, or I needed you at that time. And so that acknowledgement of the truth is very important in the healing process as well, right? So it's important I don't rely on EMDR only. I feel acknowledgement of our vulnerability and truth and some movement and restoration of love is super important to really go deep into healing the physiology for more long-term cures.
Mm. Is there an age limit to EMDR and Gestalt therapy and family constellations? Like a lower limit? Like what's the age of a child? Could you do it?
I don't know the answer to that, but like I've had babies where I've done constellation work through the mother and all that, right? Of the mother and just getting the mom to say something to the child, like, dear child, this grief is mine, not yours. It doesn't belong to you. And of course, homeopathy, you can use it on babies. EMDR, I think it should be fine because you can do bilateral stimulation. You can tap left and right. But how to get that child to think about that traumatic memory, that's hard if they're really young. But this, I'm sure it's possible. But for children, I would encourage using play therapy. I believe play therapy is super successful, right? Where they get the children to play slightly and then I don't know how exactly they do it, but maybe the child can now feel more comfortable about talking about things. Or you could play with a child. So the beautiful part about EMDR therapy and any of these therapies is you also ground the person in positive feelings. So at the end of an EMDR session, I'll get them to think about a safe space. Mm. Yeah. A person they love, or their garden or the ocean or the beach, and then tap again. Yeah, or notice their breathing. So I'll combine a bit of somatic experiencing, notice their breathing, their relaxation. So for a child, maybe you play with them and then tap left and right. Mm. Or, you know, cuddle them using like a bit of the Havening technique where you'll stroke their arms a bit up and down and then allow them to play a bit and then come back and give them some affirmation and confirmation. So you're really creating safety and connection in the nervous system. And the more connection you create towards safety, the more the nervous system can relax. And when the nervous system relaxes, the trauma is less large or big or loud in the nervous system. And that naturally helps the body to disengage and process, how do I say, come out of trauma and reestablish homeostasis again, a healthy homeostasis again.
Mm. Actually, I've started using the remedy Cortisol 6C because I've been prescribing it for so many of my clients recently. And I was like, well, clearly I needed it. I'm prescribing it for everyone. I actually had somebody's all day nonstop morning sickness went away with Cortisol 6C. And so many different things I've been prescribing for, but mostly all of us are just go, go, go. And yeah, so I've started using it. It's my new favorite remedy. I just want to slide it in there that you were talking about.
Awesome. I'm going to try that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's just, it feels like it's a cure all. And I actually get people to put 2 pills in their water bottle and shake it and then just drink it throughout the day.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
But speaking of which, I mean, there's just such an epidemic of anxiety and depression and chronic disease. And it's just people are sicker than they have ever been before. Have you got some theories behind what on earth is going on?
Yeah, I do. So in my online course, like I was saying, I cover healing the pillars of health. And I feel these pillars of health are the ones that are being damaged the most in today's world. One is gut health, right? There's so many toxins that are destroying our good bacteria and destroying our gut lining and also affecting our liver. Our liver is inundated with toxins, right? From pesticides, from alcohol, from fumes in the air. And I said the liver is the master controller of hormones, right? And all the processes in the body. In fact, with liver stagnation, we often get a progesterone deficiency, right? And with progesterone deficiency, GABA, the anti-anxiety neurotransmitter, doesn't work so well in the brain. So people with PMS symptoms are likely to have mood swings because of low progesterone affecting the ability of GABA to work better in the brain. So liver detox is super important because most people are toxic. Also, when people are stressed, they're breathing more tightly. Yeah, we're not moving our diaphragm. And our diaphragm is super important to massage the liver and get the lymphatics flowing. Right. So people have more. That's why people who are stressed have more heartburn and constipation or digestive issues, is because the liver is stuck as well because of the stress response. And the stress response affects the vagus nerve. The vagus nerve innervates the gut and also releases cytokines, which help the good bacteria flourish. The vagus nerve affects our liver, right? And what it secretes. So if the vagus nerve is dysregulated because of stress and trauma, then the liver is going to be suboptimal. Okay. Now, with the pressure, financial, the pressures on life nowadays, right? Everyone's on fast forward because of emails, because of high speed internet, because we're expected to respond to emails within the same day or something like that. You know, the world is moving faster. So we are in a fight, flight, or freeze response, whether we like it or not. There's expectations on us. And that's going to dysregulate your vagus nerve. That's going to create sense of failure or depression as well. If you cannot meet up or, you know, be part of how the world is moving, that's going to burn out your adrenal system. And with adrenal fatigue, like we talked about, you go into a cortisol imbalance. That, of course, suppresses your neurotransmitters, leading to mental health symptoms. But cortisol imbalance also dysregulates aromatase enzyme and other enzymes, so it affects hormone issues as well. Okay. And when you have prolonged cortisol levels or cortisol dysregulation, you actually suppress your immune response, and you go into even though cortisol helps reduce inflammation, prolonged cortisol actually creates pro-inflammatory state, right? Because I think it triggers interleukins or TNF cytokines. There's a whole bunch of things that happen with prolonged cortisol exposure that makes you more inflamed. Okay. So inflammation doesn't only come from your gut, but also from chronic stress. And as people know, chronic inflammation is the root cause for most conditions, whether it's heart disease, because inflammation damages the blood vessels, and that damage to the blood vessels then creates the plaque formation. So it's not only lipid issues, it's actually inflammatory damage, right? Inflammation is heavily connected or associated with cancers, depression. Of course, eczema, arthritis are all inflammatory conditions as well. And that's why people's inflammation or symptoms get worse with stress. Yeah, when they're stressed out, their pain gets worse, right? Because of possibly the cortisol effect and the vagus nerve effect and other nervous system responses with cytokines and lymphocytes, etc. So those pillars are really affected, right? That's why people are getting sicker nowadays. And I believe then the other pillar needs to be healed as well. One is childhood trauma, of course, because parents are maybe stressed out and burnt out and not able to care for you anymore as much as possible. Or there's trauma on the internet, there's abuse in schools, there's bullying. Our nervous system is more fragile. And so if you have burnt out adrenal glands and you're traumatized, you're going to feel over-traumatized by a trauma that somebody else who has a healthy adrenal system would be able to tolerate. I feel I'm speaking like in repertory language, putting the wrong words in the wrong places, but it's okay. We're all homeopaths here.
So the rewind button is for, so you can re-listen if you need to.
Okay, great. And that being said, vice versa as well. So if you're traumatized as a child, right, we store this trauma in our nervous system. And these multiple traumas, yeah, they basically, the next trauma creates another layer of trauma and another layer of trauma. So what happens is, as adults, we're walking around with layers of trauma. So our nervous system is fragile. And as an adult, if you're traumatized, it triggers a childhood trauma response. So if you have a boss who's angry, it'll trigger the fear you felt with an angry father, for example. Yeah. Or if your girlfriend breaks up with you, it'll trigger the abandonment you had with your mother. So what happens is, if you have unhealed trauma in your body, adult life stresses will feel more overwhelming for somebody. Yeah. Who has had trauma versus somebody who has not had trauma. And so if you've been traumatized a lot, you will likely burn out faster as an adult compared to somebody who hasn't been traumatized a lot. Or, yeah. or compared to somebody who's healed their trauma. So I encourage people to really heal their trauma, to build emotional resilience so that your fight, flight, or freeze response is not overstimulated. And when that happens, when you're less overstimulated, then your adrenal glands are safer. They burn out less. So your cortisol levels will be more in balance the more you heal your trauma in a safe way. Yeah.
And if they do increase, that you're able to get it back down to a level quick enough.
Exactly. Because you have regulation, self-regulation.
Because you're always going to experience stress. You're never not, it's always there. So it's that what we're always trying to get back to in true health is resilience, right? Like stuff's going to happen, but being able to bounce back quickly, I think is.
Being able to bounce back and being able to understand that this is not my mother leaving me. This is not my father, you know, beating me up, right? This is not the threat of abuse from an uncle. Yeah, this is a different person. And that ability to identify and distinguish happens by healing these childhood wounds so that you're less immersed in those childhood memories and more, you know, more integrated as an adult. Yeah, more present as the whole self.
So something I wanted to add in there while you were talking, the low progesterone, is that a lot of people might not know. There's a great book called Period Repair Manual by Lara Bryden. And she, that was a revelation for me. I just don't know why I just kind of didn't get that until I read the book a couple of years ago, is that the only time a woman produces progesterone is when she ovulates. So if you're on hormonal contraception, it suppresses ovulation. So you're not producing progesterone. And so, you know, all these years that we are on hormonal contraception, we're just completely missing out on producing progesterone, which is highly protective against various cancers. And like you said, so important for mood regulation and all these other things. So it's something that's not talked about enough, but really need to talk about that. And it's interesting you said about the diaphragm as well, because I'm doing this master practitioner course through the Center of Homeopathic Education that Colin Griffith is putting on. And he was talking, because he's also osteopath. His son's also osteopath. I don't know if he's also one, but he's a homeopath as well. And he talks about these reticular membranes, something reticular membranes, and your brain rests on one and your tongue rests on one. And then there's your diaphragms, also your pelvic floor. And these tissues hold on to a lot of our trauma. And so he talks about remedies that we can use to release this trauma. And obviously osteopathic work can help with this as well. But it's interesting that diaphragm will hold on to a lot of trauma as well. And we can use homeopathic remedies to help release that trauma.
Absolutely. And regarding the birth control pill, for example, I'll often use homeopathic versions, either sepia or the homeopathic versions of the pill, to help people detox from pill abuse, birth control pill abuse. I've had clients where their parents forced them to be on the pill.
Yeah.
Various reasons, whether they're afraid of them getting pregnant or to suppress acne or to control painful periods, which is all fine and dandy, but get to the root cause. You know, the root cause could be resentment to the father, which often goes to the liver, or just heal the liver with herbs and homeopathics. But yeah, in a constellation sense, since we're talking about family constellations, resentment towards father, or, you know, disappointment with father and, you know, parents not meeting your expectations, that causes huge physiological changes I've seen in people where there's jaw tightness, insomnia, liver stagnation. These can be healed with healing words, healing sentences, and you'll see significant changes so that you need less supplements over time as well.
This is the thing with interviewing so many people. I've got so many ideas from all the conversations I've had popping in, and I'm already just thinking those healing sentences, you could actually put that on a bottle of water and then just drink that water. Veda Austin, I had her on the show as well, and just thinking like all these little pieces that we can pull together. Amit, can you please tell us a bit more about your online course, what people can learn in that, and also about your retreats, which sounds very intriguing.
Yeah, so I have a couple of online courses. One is a full heal anxiety, depression, weight loss, chronic disease course by healing the gut, liver, adrenal system. So it has herbs and supplements and homeopathic remedies for various issues, as well as healing the root cause and emotional healing exercises as well. I have a family constellation course, which has a bunch of healing sentences that people can practice and learn how to refine their own healing sentences with. And then I have healing retreats in different parts of the world. So in Africa, we combine them with beach time or safaris. I'll be doing one in Sardinia this year. In 2025, I'll probably be in Peru and Costa Rica. So they're happening all over the world. And of course, I'm invited by groups as well to hold retreats for them. So if people are interested, I'm happy to come over. If you have a large enough group, we can do that. The retreats include EMDR processing, family constellations therapy, of course, healing emotional wounds from childhood, from adulthood as well, looking at your beliefs, entanglements with your ancestors, with your family members, and in your work life, reducing stress, combining or teaching you how to combine or heal your symptoms by combining emotional healing as well as naturopathic medicine. We might look at the top five Bach flower remedies that might be indicated for you to help you going in your healing journey, because Bach flowers are similar to homeopathy. They're vibrational in nature. And when you take the right combination of Bach flower remedies, it stimulates your aura, your energetic system to start healing, which then translates into physiological healing, right? And if you look at the history of Bach flower remedies, Dr. Bach, I believe he had stomach cancer or some sort of cancer, and he survived much longer than doctors expected by using homeopathy and the flower remedies. So the retreats are really a very deep healing process combined with exploring the beauties of the country that you're in, whether it's Africa, you know, spending time with elephants. Elephants are very grounding and just so calming, unless, of course, as long as they're not charging you, but you know, they're beautiful animal. And then Sardinia is beautiful, just with it's apparently one of the first pieces of land that emerged from the sea in ancient times. Yeah, so it has a lot of powerful energy, and it's one of the blue zones of the world where people live beyond 100. A lot of people live beyond 100. And that's related to the culture and the food and the community, the sense of community people have there. So all these resources are on drameet.com, drameet.com. There's also free videos you can start practicing with about healing the gut, the liver. There's a beautiful emotional healing exercise as well, actually, to help you regulate your vulnerable emotions. So that's all free. It's on the website as well. Try that out as well. That will help you feel safer with your own emotions and have less judgments about some of the thoughts and emotions you feel that you try and suppress. And when you feel more comfortable with these vulnerable emotions, your physiology starts relaxing and a deeper healing happens for you. So I encourage people to start with that healing exercise before they go into any other trauma therapies, because that healing exercise basically encourages self-regulation and less shame about your feelings so that you can welcome them as they come up through trauma therapy or any emotional healing work that you're doing with me or somebody else.
That is cool, because I'm organizing this homeopathic conference in Bali this year, but I've got three other homeopaths on board to help me. And we were talking about having one in Costa Rica next year. So we might have to team them up so we can have them back to back.
I would love that.
Big party in Costa Rica next year.
Yeah, I would love that, because I have to teach there in North America for about 7 weeks in a row, but once a week. So April, May, if people can make it to Costa Rica and your workshop, then we'll team up.
Okay, sounds great. And then I'm also thinking we need to get you over to Australia for some workshops and some retreats. I think it will be amazing. And I think the people of Australia are very much ready for that as well. And you've written a book as well. Where's the best place for people to purchase that? Like, do you prefer they buy on Amazon or somewhere else? Like, I always feel it's important to ask the author, because some places that you actually don't get a cent if, you know, people buy from certain.
Yeah. So yeah, my book is on Amazon. I have two or three books out there. They're on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the major distributors. It's in six languages. So you can go to drameet.com and /books. It's all there. For people in Australia, so what I do for people in different countries as well, if they want, I teach a course on mental health. Yeah. I teach a course on mental health and holistic medicine. So it can be 5 or 10 day course where people learn about healing the gut, liver, adrenals, and we do emotional healing exercises as well. Right. Using Gestalt therapy, EMDR, family constellation. So it's a very experiential learning course where practitioners, students, and just layperson can learn how to use naturopathic medicine and emotional healing for anxiety, depression, chronic disease, but in an experiential way. So you really get support and group work process so you can face your fears, look at your shadows as well, learn about boundaries and how to respect your boundary with a client as well, so you become a stronger practitioner. So if you're interested in that, just shoot me an email. All the modules are there also on my website. You're welcome to work with me on some of those courses, or invite me over and I'll run that course for you.
Amazing. There was one little question I was going to ask you. So you were born in Kenya, but you studied in Canada, and then you're back in Kenya. You're staying with the K's.
I'm so happy you're asking me that, actually, because my dream is mobile clinics for poorer communities. So that's how I started my career. So born in Kenya, studied in Canada, came back to Kenya, and I did mobile clinics for remote areas. So students from around the world would come and we would go into the bush and treat the Maasai Samburu tribes, yeah, with homeopathy, right? And we're camping out there, sleeping with lions and elephants, and it's a deep immersive experience. And there's a lot of emotional healing that happens. I'm getting goosebumps all over because I think this is my life calling. And I want to open the door to practitioners out there. If you want to come and volunteer with me or get supervision and deepen your own emotional healing process and learn about, you know, different cultures and help different communities, shoot me a message. Yeah. The website for that is fimafrica.org, fimafrica.org, Foundation for Integrated Medicine Africa.org. I would love to start that again. It'll be more of a teaching thing for practitioners now to come and work with me in Africa and some community work. But really, my goal is to help practitioners release their own trauma and become more present for their patients. So if you really want to work with me in Africa in small groups, come over. We'll do some wonderful trips.
Oh, that sounds so good. Because my husband keeps saying he wants to go back to South Africa on a holiday. And I have no desire to go back there. I'm too scared, actually. But I said, as a compromise, we can go, work in Africa somewhere. I was thinking maybe to Homeopathy for Health in Africa because Camilla and Jeremy do great work over there. And also Harry van der Zee does great work there as well with Peter Chappell, mm-hmm. who's just recently passed away. But there's some homeopaths doing amazing work in Africa, which is really cool. And it's great that you're doing that. I hope people reach out to you. So just info@dramet.com.
Well, no, if you just go to dramet.com, dramet.com. All the resources are there. And then if you have a group who would like to do a trip here to Africa, it would be more like an emotional healing trip. And then if you're interested in the cultures and stuff, we could integrate that into the trip. But really, my dream is to get people back in the communities, but also heal as practitioners. You know, physician, heal thyself. And of course, take you on safari and the mobile clinics. We'll see how to integrate all that into your healing work.
Oh, that's cool. And do you speak Swahili? You must do.
I do, yeah.
Your accent gives you away, though. I mean, your accent sounds so like Canadian. It doesn't sound Kenyan at all.
Yeah, it's a mixture of Canadian, British boarding schools, a bit of Indian behind there, I guess, being on the land in Africa. So a nice blend there.
And it makes it so much easier to bond with clients. I find because I lived in South Africa and then moved to New Zealand, I was there for half my life, and now I live over here and I lived a year in Canada. And so I do, it's a really nice way to connect with people when you've been kind of all over the place. It makes it easier to form that rapport.
Yeah, you're more open to people's emotions and, you know, ways of being rather than being stuck in a paradigm of how to relate to people.
Absolutely. Oh, I mean, it was so amazing to chat with you. When I listened to your interview with Matthias on the Homeo Summit, I was like, oh, I can't wait to interview this guy. And I know our listeners are really going to resonate with what you're saying. And I hope they do your course and come do this work with you in Africa, come to your retreats. It sounds like there's lots of things happening. So thank you so much for your time to come on the show today.
Thank you, Eugenie. Lots of love, everyone, and see you at the retreats. Ciao, ciao.